It's the funky sax player himself, Quentin Gerard W. What is up with you today? How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you guys doing up there?
Well, you know, we're all good. We're talking to you, and, you know, we listen to the beautiful cut, Be Happy, and Be Happy. Y'all be happy out there, okay?
That's right. That's right. Happy, people. I ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well be happy, right?
That's right. Ain't no sense in being mad and kicking the dirt. It just, you know, because life is short, honey.
It's too short.
Oh, it is. So, Quentin, are you at your home in Louisiana?
I am in New Orleans. Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm actually, believe it or not, working on the next CD.
Man,
you know, the musician. Man, we don't stop. It's like a cycle, you know?
Well, let me tell you, on the other side of that is the radio stations like this one, who are trying to keep up with y'all. All of y'all quarantined and buckled down and sheltering and all that. Y'all are machines of music, okay? You're killing us with all this stuff, man.
Well, now they're forcing us to make music because we can't go nowhere, can't do nothing.
Well,
so we got to sit in the studio and be creative, right?
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I do. But I, on behalf of my ears and my brain, trying to keep up, brother.
I know.
It's a lot. Because all y'all, you know, the folks are stepping up. Y'all are stepping up, and thank goodness that you are, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, music has a way of, you know, making people be able to deal with times like this.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, by the way, it's funny you mentioned that I got a song called Times Like These on my radio, on my latest CD, Clear for Takeoff.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't written for, I had no idea that this kind of stuff was going to be going on when I wrote the song, but at the time I wrote the song, I knew it was kind of weird, you know, the way life is right now for everybody. It's a little stressful. So I just wanted to put something out there to, you know, give somebody to listen to, give people to listen to something that would help them get through some hard times.
Definitely. Well, that's why this Artist of the Week spotlight is here, so, you know, folks can exhale a little bit. And because I do realize that's what this format has done for folks, and that was the design and brain design to get them to decompress, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, when I got your project, I was really tickled to death. Now, Quentin, do you remember? I think it's been every bit of eight years since we had you on here.
At least.
Yeah. So, and thank you, because my memory, I was like, I wonder if he remembers.
Oh, no. I remember all my radio interviews, man.
Okay, good for you.
That's part of my life. I can't forget that.
That's true. Amen. You know, some folks do so many, they, you know. But, you know, you were, I think it was, wasn't it Funky Sax or Perseverance? One of them.
Well, yeah, actually, no, it was actually the Funky Sax Project, which was way back. And that was my first CD release back in 2003-ish, 4-ish, something like that. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been, time flies, man, just like that, boom.
Well, and you know, here's the beauty of that, and I'm glad you recall it. In, you said 2003?
Yeah, right around 3 or 4, something like that.
Now, I think it was five or six that we had you on. And nobody knew you. And it was like, this is emerging talent, y'all. It's like,
yes,
okay.
Yeah. Girl, you something else. Let me tell you something funny about that. It's funny because you are so absolutely right. I remember when that CD came out, I was like, okay. I was waiting to, like, sell my first CD, right? So then I finally got an email that somebody in Hawaii finally bought my first CD, like, 3 months after it came out.
He's coming, y'all. Who this dude? I mean, I think the one that Perseverance, because that cover looks familiar.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was your second project.
And yes, it was.
That would be the one. And see, here's what I'm leading up to. Is that as part of the Artist of the Week segment that is produced here on WFSK, there's a kind of a little thing in there called emerging new talent. Because we, you know, we need to say, as the station, this is what's coming. Okay, get know their name, look them up, and just get start listening for their stuff. Because you know that's the wave of the future. And look at you, in 2020, cleared for takeoff. I mean, you too much, son. Okay, you too much.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, Quentin Gerard's been. Hey, man, I'm a blue collar artist. Okay, so I tell everybody all the time, I'm a blue collar artist, man. I'm in it for the music, and I'm sure you can tell by my music. I just don't hear it quite the same as everybody, but you know, I make sure that the quality is there, and I put down exactly what's coming spiritually. And I'm fortunate enough to be on a label that allows me to be fully creative in terms of the songs I write and how I write the music and how I produce it. That is a blessing, because in most of these cases, you know, you got these people that tell you, well, you know, we want it to be like this and that, this is what's selling and all that. But over at OTS, man, Miss Patricia, she lets me just, she just loves it. Said, look, you be you. And so what you guys are hearing is me, you know, it's not watered down or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
or, you know, being told to write it like this or that. Yes, so I love that about it.
Well, that's why you're being played on WFSK, okay?
Okay,
see, we're not doing wallpaper, okay?
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's not what we do here. This is historically black College Station Jazz, okay? It's going to be some funky in here.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. See, you understand the funk, man. So, and, you know, it's amazing how, you know, I, over the years, you know, and people ask me, where does this funky sax player thing come from? Well, wouldn't you know it, I would like to take maybe 15 seconds or 30 seconds to acknowledge where that came from. And that whole story of the funky sax player came from a good friend of mine and the late Mr. Ellis Marsalis, who just passed away recently here in New Orleans. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that story. A couple months ago, he moved on. But when I was studying with Ellis, he came up to me one day and he said, all right, Wilson, because that's what the W stands for, Wilson, my last name. But he said, all right, Wilson, what are you going to do? What do you have to offer to the jazz world and saxophone? You know, my oldest son is already the greatest saxophone player around, so what are you going to bring to the table? Now, you can imagine a 17-year-old kid in college that, you know, looking up to Mr. Marsalis is like this icon, and he's talking to you like that. That could be pretty intimidating, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so, but I got it. I got the message. And the message was basically, he said, look, regardless of whatever it is you are, what you're going to do, you've got to do something different and bring something that hasn't been done already. So that was the origin of Quentin Gerard W, the funky sax player, right there. And I knew from that point on that, listen, there's saxophone players everywhere, and they're all great players. All of them, you know. And it's not so much about being great player at that point. It's like, how are you going to play the saxophone that differentiates you from from all those other players out there, and how you're going to have your own unique sound. And that's what Ellis was telling me. So that's where that funky sax player thing came from.
Well, and I'm grateful to him for pointing you in that direction, because along, you know, over the years in this music, it's been, you know, you all have been suppressed, and I can tell by how radio did it. And, you know, I'm not somebody that just breezed in. I know this stuff, okay? So, I know.
40 years.
Oh, yeah. Somebody done leaked the secret.
Secret's out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Lord, yeah. But anyway, the facts are is that it kept so many of y'all out for so long.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, you playing behind somebody, and you better than them, and I, you know, don't start me. I'm trying to be.
You didn't say that. Yeah, okay. I closed my ears.
Yeah,
on that
right.
Yeah, I am not gonna touch that.
No, you can't touch that. I can say
you
that.
Like,
you
read,
can
read
say,
my,
no,
you, read
you
my
cannot
story
say
or something, man.
No, I'm just. I mean, because I've talked to enough of y'all off the air.
Okay.
Made observations. you know, I read. I'm one of those kind of sisters. And I pay attention and I study. And I know this business. And, you know, I earn all my stripes. So yes, I saw something happening that really seemed so totally unfair. And, you know, and I saw how things were changing. And it was disturbing. Because, you know, you guys were really, in these conversations I was having, you know, at the desk, it was almost, you know, it was like, man, this is serious business. And these, you know, and you guys couldn't make money and you couldn't do this. I was like, this is terrible. So, you know, I'm grateful that you persevered.
And that was the name of that second CD, and that's why it was called Perseverance, because Lord knows I've been through the ringer in this business. I mean, I remember Stevie wanted to call me at my house one time. I came in and I had a voicemail from Stevie, and he had gotten a hold of one of my demo tapes. And basically, he had recommended me to get a record deal over at Motown. Well, it was Mo Jazz Records at the time, which is now a defunct label. And I it's amazing because I had like, I actually moved to Los Angeles with a record deal, but all of my record deals never worked out for whatever reason. And just like you're talking about, the reason Quentin Gerard is not a household name, so to speak, is because I'm not going to work for free, basically. So, and you know, a lot of times these record deals, they're not, it's not all what you think it is. You know, all that glitters is not gold. I tell everybody that in this business as well. So, like I said, I'm a blue collar guy, and it was never about fame for me. It was just about, you know, let me do what I do to make a living and earn a living, just like everybody else. So I didn't get twisted up in some bad deals that you can't get out of, which a lot of guys get into, you know what I mean?
Well, and I'm glad you didn't, because I can tell by the way you play with freedom.
I'm free. It's a freedom thing, man. You're exactly right. You hear it.
I do, because I hear a lot of stuff. You know, we're a reporting station, so you know how much music comes to my desk.
See?
There's no words, okay? There's just like, what has happened to you? It's like a volcano. Like, Lord, you know, it comes in the mail, in the downloads, in the...
Well, you know, Ms. Sharon, a lot of it has... Okay, and I'm going to be somewhat politically correct, although I don't believe in that. A lot of it has to do with the way not only the music business has changed, but the music industry has changed. You get a lot of these these guys go to like the, you know, music stores, and now you can purchase prepackaged music and software and things like this. And these people never took a music course in their life, and now all of a sudden they're calling themselves a producer, you know, all this stuff. And I listen to this stuff, and I'm like, well, you know, personally for me, I came the hard road. You know, I had to get basically literally reprimanded by people like Ellis Marsalis and stuff, and you beat over the head with a stick if I messed up or didn't get it right. And now you can just basically literally just press a button and you get music, and then you can just do whatever you want on top of it, and people call that music today. Well, it's not music. There's three essential parts of music that you have to have, and that's harmony, melody, and rhythm. And if you're lacking either one of those, then it's just noise. By definition, it's just noise. And a lot of the young people, you know, they want quick. They want the, they want it quick. You know, they don't want to. They don't want to work or pay the dues, so to speak, and suffer and sweat and all that kind of stuff that goes along with learning your instrument, learning to be able to play that instrument. So they want that quick gratification and a quick satisfaction, but what they don't realize is it's the work you put into it on the front end that gives you that satisfaction on the back end.
That's right. And you know, if you have it, you have it, and if you don't, then you know, do something else. You know, because you know, I mean, a lot of people that get their feelings hurt, and you know, they're not there yet. And because
well, if you get your feelings hurt, you're in the wrong business. Well, I'll tell you right now, stay out of the music business. If you got an issue with getting your feelings hurt, you don't want to get in the music business, because that's all it's about. It's all about rejection. So if you can't handle rejection, don't do it.
Right. That's you're right. And I hope some folks are listening, because you know, if you're not ready, that's like it's tough. It's tough. It's tough, man.
But it's through that rejection that you get that makes you persevere to become who you are. Right. You see what I'm saying? So you can understand that, you know, if you believe in yourself and you're willing to basically put your money where your mouth is,
right,
then that rejection is not really, you know, substantial or significant at that point, because you know what you're doing. And if you put in the time, you know, listen, you can't get something for nothing in this world. That's just the way it goes. You know, if you want something, you got to put some time in, and then you'll recoup what you put into
it. Amen. This week's artist of the week, the funky, and I do mean funky sax player, Quentin Gerard W. He has a new release, and I'm happy to know that, because we're enjoying it here at WFSK, Cleared for Takeoff. Now, you know, Quentin, there's so many things that up-and-coming artists could learn from you via working under Mr. Marcellus. You know, that old-school knowledge like that is just so, you know, your money could not replace it, because his experiences that he passed and poured into you manifest, you know, in you right now. And being in that area where you are, in Louisiana, New Orleans and all, how has that influenced your musical talent and abilities?
Well, I tell you, man, everything you're listening to when you hear my music is a reflection of my past and my history here in New Orleans, which is a great musical city, of course. I mean, most people are, I guess, attribute New Orleans with Dixieland jazz and those kind of things, Zydeco's, big bands and things like that. Believe it or not, I grew up, I was the youngest of seven kids, and my older brothers played music in high school bands and things like that.
Yeah.
And I had a very world-renowned saxophone teacher that taught really at the school right next to my house named Kid Jordan, whose sons, I'm sure you're familiar with, Marlon Jordan and Kent Jordan and those folks. They taught my older brothers, and they were playing songs like Flight of the Bumblebee in high school. So I was always amazed at how talented they were, even at the high school level. So I would try to sneak in and play my brother's clarinets, and of course I'd always get in trouble for doing that. But back to New Orleans, I grew up listening to big bands, jazz bands. I grew up listening to second line music. I mean, you know, of course, Zydeco, and I mean, we got Dixieland. We've had straight ahead jazz. I mean, so there's such a myriad, eclectic amount of music here in New Orleans. But even with all of that, I had to be who I am. See, along with all of that, I grew up listening to Parliament, Slave, Brick, you know, all the funk players. I mean, you know, I mean, I was into like that kind of stuff, like Ohio Players and, you know, Quincy Jones and all these folks. So that was something I gravitated to. Now, I'm not a singer, so I use my saxophone as my voice, but I was always a big fan of funk music, and I just love it. So I combined the two. So I brought the jazz with the funk, and that's why.
Well, and you know, there is a whole host of listeners out there that just absolutely love funk, and they're not afraid of it. And you know, they don't think it's too much, you know. So there's like, generationally speaking, and all that era that you just spoke of, those people, you know, are into this music, the contemporary, and they want to hear it sometime. And it was so filtered out that
yeah, you couldn't get airplay.
No,
I mean, it was like that.
Absolutely not.
You know, if your stuff, I mean, I think even on my Perseverance record, I have this one little thing on the intro song, Kicking It Real. It says, like, you know, they told me my music is too funky. We don't want that in here. We're not going to play that in here. So, you know, I kind of did that as a parody on that record to show people what I was dealing with at the time, you know, with the way the format was. If you don't fit the format, then you're not going to get in. But what I did was, I was so irritated with the format, I said, you know what, the format's going to have to fit me, because this is what's coming. And I hit a grassroots campaign, and I just said, look, I'm going to put this music out called The Funky Sax Player. Yeah. I'm already telling you what it is on the title. Just, well, if you look at the name, I'm telling you. You know, I'm already telling you what it's going to be. and that's what. Hey, I did my own market survey from all the brothers in the hood rolling around in their cars, and I started passing out CDs. Hey, man, play this. Just play this.
Yeah.
And you know what? They were like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's what the people missed, Quentin, was, you know, everything was so finely screened down that it was boring. And, you know, that's what happened to the format. So, you know, when University brought me over in 05, I'm like, we're not doing Milquetoast. I'm sorry. I was at an R&B station before. I said, we're about to get down in this place. You know, we ain't going to bed. So, you know, I'm just, because I'm, you know, and I, you know, I'm not saying this, we rock in the house, but I'm just saying I'm looking for people who have talent and unique skill sets that understand how this music is significant and the importance of true talent. So, you know, we're happy to have your music here in the station, because before the Be Happy People was your project before your current one, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am. That was on the Before It's Gone CD. And I've had numerous conversations with people. And I mean, I had people literally come up to me and say, hey, man, why you want to play elevator music? And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And that's what people were. That was the perception of this music when they turned on, quote unquote, smooth jazz stations or, you know, contemporary jazz stations. It was like, dude, it's like glorified elevator music. So I was like, okay, we got to change this.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when the Funky Sax came out. And then by the time I got to Before It's Gone, I noticed a shift in the format. It started to realize, if we want to sell ads, if we want to get listeners, we better do something here. And the music has progressively gotten better over the years. So now it's almost like all kind of got funk and backbeat to it now. Yes. So everything is gone. I mean, they got a lot of artists out there. Randy Scott, I mean, you know, Judah Seeley, I like a lot. Marcus Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
I can go on with the sax players, and, you know, these guys are really getting it done. So they're younger players, you know, and I really like their music. So they're doing a great job out there.
Well, and let me tell you, honey, that was a concerted effort. Do you hear me? Okay. And I will talk more off the air. But okay. I'm telling you that, you know, it, things were more purposeful than you may even have imagined. Because, you know, that's the only way to fight back. You know, I'm glad that, you know, a few soldiers stood ground, you know, and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's kind of who I am. I stick my foot in the ground, and I'm not going to move. And I've been doing it this way for since 2003 with that first release of Funky Sax. Here we are at 2020. And Clear for Takeoff is out and is doing well. And I'm already writing tunes for the next CD.
Wow.
So hopefully that'll be out next year as well. I'm going to try to get them out a little bit more frequently.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was kind of reprimanded by Jonathan Widron, who did my interview. And he said, well, Quentin, you know, you can't keep people waiting 10 years for a project. You know? But what people don't understand, you know, it costs a lot of money to make these records.
True.
They, you know, it's very expensive to do that. So, you know, everybody's not walking around with a rich uncle. And I definitely don't have a rich uncle. So I've got to finance this stuff myself. So.
Well, and you know, understood. I get it. And, you know, at least if we have to wait that long, it's not going to be something that, you didn't put any thought into, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, no, I take every song seriously. You know, I treat it like it's children, you know.
Definitely.
I don't treat any child less than the other one. So every song on my CDs have to have significance and relevance as well.
Okay, now speaking of relevance, I was waiting for the door to open on the relevance. The Cleared for Takeoff.
Uh-huh.
And you have a skill set outside of music.
Yes.
That was the
thing.
Yeah, I heard that, you know, you are also, you know, a licensed pilot. And, you know, you are, so I get it. I get it. I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, one of the things, I don't even know where to begin this, but back in high school, I often was challenged with, okay, what am I going to do with my life? Because I tried the football thing, right? And then, you know, I was out on the football field and, you know, wound up with my face in the mud and all this kind of stuff, red ants biting me. And I'm like, really? Is that what this is all about? I'm like, there's got to be a better way to make a living, right, than playing football. So, I gave up the football because I was like, that ain't for me. And then, so at that point, I said, okay, what am I going to do with my life? So there was only really two options for me. One, continue playing saxophone, and or two, dreams of becoming a pilot. So unfortunately, my parents couldn't afford to give me flying lessons, and I didn't want to go to the military or anything like that. So that was on the table. But somewhere down the line, I never lost that desire to want to fly an airplane. So when I was, I guess you'd say, old enough or whatever, I took a lesson, and that was it. The rest is history, and moved on and got my private pilot's certificate, they call it, or license, and I've been flying since 2000.
Well, and, you know, when you come out with the album entitled Clear for Takeoff, and then your first single is Round Trip LAX.
Yes.
It's like, let me see.
Yes. And that song has so much significance, man, because, listen, when I first moved to Los Angeles, you know, and of course, flying on an airplane and having that history of aviation and wanting to be a part of that, you know, when I first flew into LA, it was just so big compared to New Orleans, you know, I just thought it was awesome. And it gave me this really cool feeling. So, I was with I met a guy in Los Angeles. His name is Daryl Spencer. He, and I became really good friends. And he called me one night and said, hey, Q, man, come on over here to the house. I got this track I want you to play on.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So Friday night came. I went over there, and, you know, I didn't know what the song was going to be or anything. I had no idea. And after about an hour, we came up with this demo of a rough version of what you actually hear on this CD. And we said to each other, man, this is nice, man. We might have something here. We need to get this out. Little did we know it would be 20 years later.
Wow.
And so that's where that song came from. That's a collaboration effort between me and a good friend of mine, guitar player who played with John B, Daryl Spencer.
Okay.
And we wrote that song 20 years ago.
Wow.
Never gave up on it, though.
It sounds good today. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm glad that it's here. Now, before we close up shop,
yes, ma'am.
A couple of things I wanted to give you a chance to mention. Who are some of the musicians on there, and did you produce this as well?
Yes, I produced it, and I have a co-producer who's the drummer. His name is Richard Chef R&B Sellers, who I work with in another group called Under the Lake as well.
Uh-huh.
And excuse me, I did most of the production, if not all of it, but he helped me with some of the remote production in a different studio in down near San Diego area. And his name is Richard Seller. As I mentioned, Daryl Spencer co-wrote Round Trip LAX with me. Who else I got on there? I've got Heather Jakeman, who is a really phenomenal singer out of Phoenix, and Lauren Nicole, who's on Visibility is 10 Miles. Man, you got to hear that song. That is like my top two or three songs on that record. It really is. And it's really a cool song. And who else is my son, Lamech Yisrael, who is also a very phenomenal guitar player, just won the Gibson 2020 guitar competition. I'm finishing up his record right now. You want to talk about artists to watch in the future? Well, that's one for you. He's awesome. And Yael Israel as well, keyboard player here in New Orleans. And I think that rounds out just about everybody. A guy named Noah Albright and Nathan Brown on bass. And that's my crew, man.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. And I'm just really tickled to death to get a chance to talk to you. And we're going to talk off air, too.
Okay. I'm going to be on here. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay. It's either going to be later today or it's going to be next week. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I just needed to, you know, you and I need to do a high five off the air. Okay.
All right, Tim. Yes, man.
Yo, honey. Now, Quentin, I'm almost out of time.
Okay.
And I just deeply appreciate your commitment to the music and, you know, this just the industry. And I just want to thank you for clearing the space, you know, for us to get a chance to hear from you, get the scoop straight and directly from you about what you've been doing. And to tell our audience, I know your schedule is different now and you're not doing anything, and neither is anybody else. For folks to, you know, catch up with what's going on with you and getting the projects and downloads and et cetera, where do you think would be the best place for them to get it?
You can always go to my website at QuentinGerardW.com, mm-hmm. or you could go to FunkySax.com, which is FNKYSAX, no U,
yeah.
because I took the U out of it because it's not about me. So that's why I call it Funky Sax, FNKYSAX.com.
Excellent. So go straight to his stuff. And yeah, that takes care of that. And you'll see, all the, you've got all four of your projects up here, and they can listen, cuts, and buy, and do whatever they're going to do.
Yes, ma'am.
And support you. Well, you know, you have our undying love here at WFSK, Quentin Gerard W., and don't you forget it, okay?
Oh, never, never. I'm forever grateful, and I love you guys up there. And you guys really are doing a wonderful thing by giving artists like myself an opportunity to be heard. I appreciate it.
Definitely. This is the highlight of my life, man. I got to tell you. Now, hold on one quick second, Quentin.
Okay.
Because we got to seal up the shop. I want you to pull up his cut, Candlelight Flight, with me.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm closing out on that, okay?
Candlelight.
Yeah. I was just going in my head saying, I could do that, okay?
See, nobody can't mess with you, Sharon. You know the funk, man. You got to have a special ear to want to hear that, dude. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you how I personally feel, okay? And this, you know, I was like, I could do this, okay? Candlelight Flight with me, yes,
indeed.
Okay. So I just wanted to make the point clear. I got you, okay?
Yes, you do have me. I'm seeing that. Yes, ma'am. You got it.
All right, that's this week's Artist of the Week. Quentin Gerard W. We're going to close up with this Candlelight Flight with me on Jazzy 88 WFSK.